there it is. Hello, and good morning, and welcome to October. Well, I mean, I know it's, you know, the fourth day of October, but I mean, it's Red October, and it's tomorrow, and it's Philadelphia and the surrounding region coming out to Citizens Bank Park, 4:08 start time tomorrow, the Phils and the Mets. Obviously, it's going to be an electric atmosphere, would have anyway. But now, you know, I think John and Devin, you both referenced earlier, it'll be even more compelling because it's the Mets. I mean, that is a different animal.
Can I just say, if you think back to the London series,
yep,
when the Phillies faced the Mets,
would you
have ever guessed, even though they did split the two games in London, but would you have ever guessed that they'd be in this position facing the Mets?
Well, like, their fans were so down, and there weren't as many of their fans, in part because they weren't having a good season.
They sold off their whole team last year, remember? Like, at the trade deadline, they trade away all their players. They didn't make moves this offseason. Like, this was unexpected for the Mets.
Yeah.
But you guys know the third wild card, second wild card, which I was against a few years ago, that enables teams that are inferior to reach October and then beat
and get hot.
Superior.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, it happens. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll get to some Bryce Harper audio in just a moment with him talking about.
I thought you were going to say Bryson Stott there, and I think we've forgotten about Bryson Stott.
In what regard?
This whole season, he just hasn't been up to his normal standard offensively. Yeah. He still has played great defensively.
Fantastic day.
But we sort of, you know, now he's a part-time player against, you know, lefties, and that changes the way I think we all perceive him. He's sort of under the radar, but Bryson Stott's an incredible baseball player, and I think he's going to seize an opportunity here. He's too good a player to have a season like the one he's had and not have a few plays that surprise and you know, give us a
I agree, John. I agree with you.
I think it's going to happen, and I think it's inevitable, and, you know, so keep your eyes peeled. Bryson Stott is waiting in the wings to do something dramatic.
All right, I like that. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Tyrone right now. What's going on, Tyrone?
Hey, good morning. How's everybody doing?
Doing great, Tyrone.
Joe, you got to relax on the Mets, man. You got to remember, they had to have this big party. It's going to be an emotional turnaround for them when they come into here. So you get a chance to jump on them game one. Yeah,
Well, you sure hope so. Look, you just hope Zach Wheeler settles the whole frickin' thing down. Mike Tyson with one of the great lines of all time when he said, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face. Or in the mouth.
Yeah,
I think he said it until they get
punched in the mouth.
Punched in the mouth. You know, like, you just want Zach Wheeler to own him in the first, you know, six, seven innings and win the game.
That's like,
yeah, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be fine. I'm not worried about
them. They will be fine. They're a better team. And speaking of punching people in the nose, punch them in the nose is what my dad always told me. Punch them in the nose, Johnny.
You can disorient them.
Well, they'll never. Yeah,
a whole different
you'll drop them, and they're not going to pick on you if you hit them in the nose. The trick is you got to get them in the nose.
Okay, all right.
But if you get them in the nose, it's going to hurt.
I'll
them
take that
so bad.
Under
they're never going to come back.
For my next Tyrone, I now have a strategy for my next fight.
You go headbutt too.
Your next one.
my next one. Exactly.
I'm pretty sure the Phillies have that quote, by the way, hanging not in the. In the clubhouse, but like in the hall from the dugout to the clubhouse.
Look at our Phillies
funny?
Reporter.
I know.
Look at our Phillies reporter.
Give me inside
reporting.
Info here.
Hi, this
but
is,
they definitely
this is the news.
Do they,
yes, that's me.
Do they have any other quotes up
what
there?
What is the quote
that
we're talking about?
I'll take
about?
A look around and get back to you on that.
Okay.
It's the everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one. All right, I'll tell you what's a great one. Bryce Harper, what a baseball player. What an addition to Philadelphia sports. Drew Nell, is it 5 years or six? 19, 20, 21, 22. And 324.
Since you wanted to trade
wow,
him away?
6 years he's been here. That's pretty incredible. All right, let's listen again. Come on. Let's listen to Bryce yesterday on with Spike and Ike.
I'll just give him away
Jeff.
For free. No, I don't need anything back. That's what Joe said. That.
Well, the concept was you would use the money to sign someone else. Like Lindor, who, by the way, is really good also. You got to admit, that guy's really good.
Yeah, he's making
great.
Almost
he's really
as
good.
Much. He's making as much as Harper, though. Like, same type of contract. Yeah.
All right, so here is
much,
Bryce
but
Harper yesterday. On the afternoon show talking about the bye week.
Can you sort of talk us through what you've done this week to stay sharp and sharpen up and how that's gone and how you feel about that heading into Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was, you know, one team or two teams that really
you know, kind of had problems with it, that didn't like the feeling of that. Obviously, the Astros, they did a phenomenal job of kind of staying pristine with their game and what they needed to do. As a team, as a whole, I think, obviously, I think we could have used this week, to tell you the truth. I think that, you know, Monday having the day off and Tuesday kind of coming in and hitting BP and doing the things we can on the machines to kind of keep us sharp a little bit. And then Wednesday, I thought, you know, the game yesterday, I thought it was pretty competitive. Obviously, I don't care who I'm facing. If it's our guys or anybody else's, I'm going to be super competitive. And I think a lot of our guys are like that. So we know what the plan needs to be and kind of what the mode it needs to be at this point. I think we're all really hungry and ready to roll. I mean, obviously, when you're watching baseball this week, you're just really excited and ready to get rolling. So as a whole, I think we know kind of what we want to do, the goal, and we got a really good mindset going into Saturday, and we're just ready to get going.
All right, it's good. Sounds focused, obviously, as you'd expect them to be. What was, James, what was that line about the Astros about? I don't understand.
It's that the Astros are the team that has had success with a bye. Over the couple years, the Astros have two times had the bye, handled it, and gone on the next round.
Yeah, because they had just been eliminated. I couldn't tell if he was taking a shot at them.
No. He was talking about the last couple years prior to this.
I got
Is there anything, Jimmy, that baseball insiders have talked about that the Astros do differently for their byes?
I haven't heard anything. All these guys know guys on other teams and all that. I'm sure they've talked to people and seen what teams have done and all that.
It is a pretty big topic, though. The teams that got the bye have not had much success and in this round coming up. And baseball knows they may have to tweak the system if this goes on for a couple more years. I mean, it is – let's put it this way. If it continues, the teams that got the bye are rusty and lose, I would refer to it as fundamentally unfair. I mean, it's just not fair for a 95 to 100-win team to get eliminated early because of a bye in this sport.
So I generally,
it's just not fair.
But I get it. But then if you gave those teams with the bye the choice, you can have the bye, you can play in the first round, they would all take the bye.
Well, they probably would, but maybe they wouldn't if there's 8 years of data that says you have a better chance to lose. I mean, you know, the reality is that it is a timing sport, and not playing for 5 days is pretty wonky. And look, you guys know my theory. I said it a couple days ago. I'll stand by it. I wish the Phillies had played 3 or 4 straight inter-squad games. I mean that. I mean, I know that risks injury. I'm not dumb. I understand that risk. But if it were up to me, they would have played Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to stay sharp and for Saturday. That's just my opinion.
Wow. I mean,
Bryce said they needed rest, though.
Yeah, no chance to recuperate. Like, that is crazy town right there.
Well,
these guys need a chance to just get off their feet and prepare for this long ride. They're about to play baseball.
Unless
for a while
they needed
here
to play more to be ready. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Let me be clear. I don't think any of us truly know.
Well, that's
know
the trick, finding that balance. But that is not a balance. You know, that is overbearing every day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Get out there and play these games. Okay. I think what they did was valuable.
It
was
you're the guy that wants the Eagles to practice harder.
I would
put on pads.
They went out there and played.
Put on pads, Eagles.
That's what John Ritchie says. That they just played. You know how different that is than going out there and walking through for 45 minutes in sneakers.
No, I know.
215-592-9494.
Speaking of the Birds, we'll do some Eagles with Elliot Shore Parks at 7:30. A lot of Phillies with Elliot as well, though. Dick Vermeil at 8 o'clock. He's been through it. He has been through the postseason journey, obviously, in football. So we'll talk to Coach Vermeil about what's up ahead for the Phillies from that standpoint. Beat the Hammer in between at 7:45, plus more audio, including John Middleton yesterday, some of what he said to us that stood out. All of that and more. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie from Borgata today, plus the Hammer with 16 straight victories.
Boo.
Going for 17 with Beat the Hammer. I like it. I like it. It's fun. It's creative. And it's what we all hope happens. Was that Wechter's work something?
That was 100% Joe Wechter. Obviously, the old 660 back in the day Mets thing. Great stuff.
Well done by him. Look, the Mets won last night. It does present a challenge for the Phillies. Phillies are a better team. Phillies have Zach Wheeler. The Mets don't. Phillies have Bryce Harper. The Mets don't. Phillies are a better team. Phil's got a better bullpen. They got a starting rotation pitching wise that's ready to go sequentially the way you'd want it to go to start a series. I mean, we don't know ultimately who 2 and 3 is going to be, but it'll be the Phillies' choice.
And the guy who I thought was going to be the game one starter was David Peterson, who closed out the Mets game last night.
I know.
Unexpected.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. So that helps.
You know that last night there was a point in time where the Brewers, right before Pete Alonso hit that home run, it felt like the Brewers were the team of destiny. It felt like the Brewers were going to take that series. No, it felt like the Mets, they jumped out to the first game of the series lead, and I think we all assumed because they were hot, they were just going to take it. But the Brewers turned that series around.
I'm aware.
And it felt like momentum had shifted back. It was the seventh inning. It's the eighth inning.
Right.
The Brewers are up 2-0.
Well, they
it
were.
It felt
but,
like they were about to take it.
Right,
and
they
the
were,
Mets but, had fallen. And yes, Pete Alonso had an incredible swing, an incredible at-bat, a three-run homer that lifted them. It was so emotional for all of New York. And now it's human nature that they will have a letdown. It's human nature that they will come in here. Remember, they're fighting.
You're right, John.
Hang on a second. Can we just, it's not necessarily human nature they're going to have a letdown. They may not.
For game one, no, I think it is. I'm with Rich. I mean, remember the Minneapolis
James,
miracle?
You're telling
everyone's
me the Phillies
like,
can't,
oh my God,
whoa,
look at
James,
this, and then
James,
they come in
on.
And get whooped.
James, are you telling me the Phillies can't lose?
No, of course not. I'm
okay,
saying
so
that
let's rein it in
no,
a bit
what
here.
I'm saying is that I expect the Mets to lose game one. I expect the Mets to come in, coming off that high, and to get to get like knocked down a bit. That's what I expect.
Look, I hope you're right. Look, for what it's worth, for those that missed it, I know it was last night around 10 o'clock. Let's just hear it.
Real
not
quick,
that
by the way, on that front, the Phillies are 15-1 in game ones dating back to 2008.
That's great. That's
music
phenomenal.
To my ears.
I love it. So all right, let's listen to how the Mets advanced last night.
Just take that to heart, though, Joe.
Because the Mets last night did something. It was pretty amazing. They were really close to their season being over. And Pete Alonso, for them, I mean, it is one of the bigger hits in their history.
Here's the pitch. Swing on a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freeland back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him. He hits the plate. He is first congratulated by Nimmo. Hugged by Lindor. There are a dozen Mets waiting for him outside the dugout. Pete Alonso keeps this fairy tale season going with the fairy tale swing of his career. 3-2 New York.
Look, I mean, it's very compelling that the Phillies are about to play the Mets. It's going to be an amazing series. We'll see what happens. One more thing, because about 15 minutes later, you know, they won. And I want to play this audio because their announcer captures what's next in between the Mets and the Phillies. I mean, just here's last night when the game ended about 15 minutes later.
Swinging a liner toward short. Picked by Lindor on one hop. Runs to second. One throws to first. Out at first. Put it in the box. The Mets are out at the mound, pouncing on each other. The Brewers may want to have a look at this just to be sure. But if this holds, this party is headed to Philadelphia.
Sure is. And that's tomorrow. Phillies and the Mets, 4-0-8. I mean, look, it's incredibly compelling. The Phillies have a better team. Now, I think the Phillies are going to win the series. But I also will not shirk the reality that I do have some major concerns, namely the momentum of the Mets and the bye, the layoff, and rust that can ensue. So I don't take this for granted at all. I mean, I've seen better teams get bounced quickly in this round. We all have. The last couple of years under this new playoff format. That does worry me. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Josh in Manayunk right now. Hi, Josh.
Always good show as always. Joe, I guess you're a Philadelphia fan because, you know, I mean, we don't win championships every year. Absolutely have reason to worry. But this has been a team that we've seen all year. And as much as the Mets have the momentum, I still love our guys. Every guy on this roster has stepped up at a different time in a key moment and made it happen. That's why I can't wait till we wait all year for this anymore. We're so spoiled as a Phillies fan lately that this is the third straight year to get in there, and I can't wait till 4:05.
Well, I totally agree, man. I mean, listen, we know how special this time of the year can be, and I know they ran into a brick wall at the end of the year 2 years in a row, but for three weeks or so, I mean, let's be real, man. Like, other than the Eagles winning the Super Bowl a couple of years back, I mean, I don't think we've had more fun in the last 15, maybe 20 years in Philadelphia sports in the last two Octobers when the Phils were on a roll. It was incredible.
Without a doubt. And let me tell you something. I love what John Middleton. John Middleton embodies everything that Dave Montgomery was to the Phillies ownership and to the city of Philadelphia. He wants it so bad for everybody else because he knows how much he's been able to provide. And that's what's exciting about having this ownership and this group of team and these players. They literally enjoy each other.
Well, they do, and he touched on that yesterday, which I thought was really cool, talking about year three, that they know each other even better and closer as a group. Josh, give me a great answer here for – and by the way, when we say year three, that's referencing in the playoffs. Some of these guys go back 5 or 6 years. I mean, Bryce has been here 6 years. I think Wheeler's been here 5 years. JT's been here 5 or 6 years. A bunch of these guys have been here now for some time. Josh, give me an answer for the Dane Cook tickets. As the Phils and Mets get ready, give me a New York athlete or coach you could not stand through the years.
I mean, I grew up a hockey fan, so Ty Domi, every time he came in as a Ranger, I hated him.
Yeah, it's funny. I think of him more as a Maple Leaf.
Me too.
But he certainly, look, there are multiple answers for the New York Rangers that will be sufficient answers to be considered as potential winning answers today. All right, let's get to, you know, John Middleton was just referenced. We had him on the show yesterday at Chickies and Pete's. And by the way, we're broadcasting from Borgata today. Wonderful to be here and with you, obviously the day before the Phils start their playoffs this year. So Middleton on with us yesterday, and we had just made the announcement that the Phillies and WIP agreed to a multi-year deal that will keep Phillies baseball here on WIP for years to come. We then transitioned to other things, including, you know, this upcoming playoffs, and then look back at some of the great moments in Phillies history with a long montage of some of the greatest moments in the history of the franchise. I want to play just the very, very, very end of that montage, and then for you to hear his reaction. So he had just sat there through about 5 minutes, 6 minutes of the greatest moments in Phillies history, one after the other, after the other, after the other. You'll hear how real it is for him as a Philadelphian to live all of this. I thought this was fascinating to hear. And by the way, we could tell. I mean, John,
I was sitting next to him. He held his arm up to me like we were a foot apart. He held his arm up, pulled his sleeve up, and showed me the goosebumps that were up and down his entire, like,
it was real.
His forearm. Like, it was absolutely real. His physiological change was proving real it was.
He took his glasses off a couple times to rub his eyes.
Yeah.
This wasn't like tears streaming down his face.
No,
but I mean,
it meant so much.
Yeah, I mean, he was emotional. Like, it was, you could tell that he was rubbing his eyes because they were tearing a little bit.
When we felt the goosebumps, he felt the goosebumps.
No question.
I could see the goosebumps on his arm.
You could literally see them.
I absolutely could. I was right there. Like, he held his arm up. I felt his arm. Like, it's crazy how tied in our owner is.
No question. All right, so let's listen to how the very end of that montage sounded and his reaction. And again, reminder, we had just announced that not only are we the home of Phillies baseball with games, but will continue to be for years to come.
Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
Gentlemen, is the ultimate, and I mean ultimate, Phillies montage and John Middleton. We are so proud to have Phillies baseball on WIP and part of the Odyssey family. And we are excited for October.
Let's go, Phillies! Let's go, Phillies!
John, what is going through you hearing all that?
Goosebump moments. It's a replay of my life. You know, I experienced every single one of those events in some fashion live. May have been listening to the radio, may have been at the game itself, but I as soon as they started talking, I knew within a couple of seconds what was coming.
Of course.
And it's special. And I tell you what's really, to me, what's really special is you listen to the background noise, particularly for the home games and the fans. I mean, that reaction, that's why my job's important. That's what my mission is in life. And I need to give people those moments again. Because they're indelible moments growing up. You could be watching with your best friend, you could be watching with your parents or your grandparents, and you know, it just, when I think about the 80 series and the final out, I was sitting in the last row of 648 with my father. And I just, that was such a special moment for the two of us. And then taking the subway up, yeah, getting off at City Hall, and just Broad Street was mobbed. You couldn't even move. It took us like an hour and a half to get to our car, which was like a block and a half away. But we talked about that for the rest of that moment for the rest of our lives together. And it's just special. Right. And that's my mission.
I mean, it's really, it's special to hear that, man, to hear an owner with that kind of commitment, but not only commitment, connection, connection. And yeah, and guys, let's be real. I mean, you guys have heard me today. Do I have concerns about this series? I do. Okay, I think the Mets are a very good team, and they're incredibly hot, and I think they're hungry, and I do worry about the rust. But I also know this. I'm going to say two things. One, the Phillies have a better team. Two, in about 4 weeks, I mean, the Phillies have a very legitimate chance to win a championship 4 weeks from now. A very, very, very legitimate chance. Let's go to the phones. 215-5, and needless to say, that's what we all want. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494.
And so that's why you need to be a little bit less scared. You need to take some of this edge off. It is good. It is all very positive right now. You should be feeling good about our team.
Well, let me tell you this. The bye worries me more than the Mets. The bye does worry me. Because I've told you for a couple of years, I think there's an unfair element to the better teams having to sit around for 5 days.
And doesn't
wait.
That – what was the statistic that you gave, Jimmy, the overwhelming statistic of Zach Wheeler in this series? It was like a night dip, something really incredible.
Well, you referenced the Phillies have won
Phillies
a bunch
in game ones. Yeah, they're 15-1
no,
in game
Wheeler
ones back to 2008. I didn't
some
have
of
a
that's
Wheeler
Cole
stat.
Hamels and Roy
oh, it
Halladay
wasn't a Wheeler
stuff.
One. No. Well, there are a lot of stats that back up the idea that we have the proper order of our starters. You know, of yeah, our starters, Zach is going to be
no,
our
there's
starter.
No question.
The Mets are discombobulated in a lot
oh,
of
oh, no,
ways.
They are. That's a mess right now for them with their staff.
Absolutely.
They just went
factor
through.
Factor that in, too.
No, that's a big one. By the way, Elliot Short Park's in about 2 minutes with us. Let me tell you the Twitter poll question of the day right now. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to, again, be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. First poll question, who wins the NLDS, Phils or Mets? Second poll question, knowing that there are some concerning elements about this series, what concerns you the most? Four choices. A, the Phillies' bats go cold, which we've seen 2 years in a row at the end. B, the Mets are hot. That's indisputable. They do have a better record than the Phillies over the last 4 months. That's a fact. Choice C, Rob Thompson's decision-making. While he's been great in most instances over the 2.5 years he's been their manager, he's had some whopper of mistakes in the postseason. And choice D, the rust factor for the Phillies with the bye and a five-day layoff. All right, let's go to the phones. Elliot in a moment. Salvador right now. Good morning, Salvador.
Hey, good morning. Joe, man, you're disappointing me, man. You need to get fired up. Why are you so scared of these Mets? Who cares if they're on a roll? You know what we're going to do with that roll? We're going to put a big, fat Philly cheesesteak on that roll and take a bite out of it. I'm tired of
I
these
like
guys.
That. That's a good analogy. That's
I'm
good.
I'm tired of these guys. Nobody's afraid of these guys. Hey, hold up. Let me get this out of the way. My girlfriend Troy is listening. It's our anniversary. Happy anniversary, baby. We're going
to
go.
Yeah, happy anniversary to Salvador and happy anniversary to baby.
Her name is Troy, but thank you.
I don't think her name's baby.
Yo, man, no, man. How are you going to take
it? It could be. It could be like that movie where Brad Pitt gets hit by the car and his kid's sister he calls baby. And then
but
that,
her name's not
and
baby.
And then that beautiful
there's
girl.
There's another movie that has a much bigger baby in it.
Well, yeah, in a corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm well aware.
Just the surprise of the reference.
I'm well aware. And then there's, of course, also at the very beginning of what's the cartoon with the rabbit, Jessica Rabbit, and the baby that starts the whole movie off that's going crazy.
Oh, man, why are you Roger always bringing up Jessica Rabbit, man?
Yeah. Dude, I got to tell you something, man. Jessica Rabbit,
you did bring her up a lot.
About as hot as it gets.
Yeah, okay. But the problem is Joe had a crush a on the cartoon, and he thought she was not human.
Salvador, I'll put it this way.
I knew she was not human.
It almost got me into cartoon porn.
Dude, what? No way.
This just escalated
no
so
way.
Quickly.
I mean, Jenny,
trust me when I tell you there's a lot of shame right here.
Oh my God. All right, I got an answer for you.
What?
I hate every New York player, but I'm going to say that stinking Tiki Barber.
Yeah, it's a great answer. Yeah. I can't stand him. I've never liked him. Tiki, so for those who's tuning
really
in,
good, though. He was very good at football.
Yeah.
And for a while, he had a secret, like, you could strip him. For a while,
I remember.
He was fumble-itis. He was so fumble-prone. So that was a good thing. Like, we could get the better of Tiki.
I remember.
And then all of a sudden, Tom Coughlin, like, teaches him to hold it up higher,
yep.
and everyone else around the league starts holding it up higher, and it actually works in reversing the fumbling trend.
He was very good. He really was. So what we're looking for today when you call is a New York athlete or coach that you just could not stand through the years. Tiki obviously will be a finalist. He's definitely one of the four or five or six, I think, most worthy of consideration. All right, let's talk to our next guest, Elliot Shore Park. Some on the Phils, some on the Eagles, and perhaps even maybe just a scotch on cartoon porn. Good morning, Elliot.
Well, it's good to know we know what you watch when you're in the bathtub now. I don't know if we needed that.
Sorry, buddy. I'm just joking, or am I not? All right.
Oh, no.
So Elliot, the Mets thing, what do you make of it? The Phillies and the New York Mets for the first time ever. Mets started, I guess, in the early 60s, and it's the first time ever that they will face each other in the postseason. What do you make of this?
Well, just a content perspective, like the sports are meant to be fun perspective, it's going to be awesome. Like the Brewers would have been cool no matter what, but to have it be the Mets is going to be cool. But look, I think this is the ultimate test for the Phillies, right? They are the favorites. They don't get to play the underdog role. They don't get to play the fun up-and-coming team. Like they are the villain in this series to everybody else around the country. They're the ones that are supposed to win. So in a lot of ways, it's the worst possible outcome for this team. But I still think they'll pull through and win it.
Elliot, what gives you the most confidence, big picture, forget just this series, to win the World Series, what gives you the most confidence in the Phillies?
Zach Wheeler. Just because I think that every time he pitches, which will presumably be the first game of each series, they'll get up 1-0 on series. I think I saw some stats that they're like 15-1 going back to 08, maybe it was, in game ones. And obviously Wheeler clearly didn't pitch all those. But this team has consistently in the postseason gone up. And when you go up 1-0, that's obviously huge. It's good for momentum. It's good for just your chances of winning the series. So my biggest reason to believe is I think Zach Wheeler will probably win almost all of his starts, and that'll be a huge momentum builder.
They are 7-0 in game ones over the last 2 years, for what it's worth.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, we've
that's a big deal.
It's a very big deal. And by the way, credit to Roy Halladay and Cole Hamels for that overall stat and Cliff Lee. I mean, those are the guys that were your game one starters in addition to Wheeler. And
well, also 7-0 the last 2 years. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And I think Nola got game one of the World Series, I think.
I don't know. Maybe.
He did. But I would also say, though, like the biggest strength that we all would believe is the home, obviously, Red October, Citizens Bank Park. Saturday is going to be a massive test of that. Like, I think, and I'll be curious to see, I think it could be tense right away. Like, when from people walk in, I do think there is a nervousness with this Mets team that would not have been there with the Brewers. I was there last year in game 6 and 7. As awesome as that place can be, when it's nervous, it is terrible for those players to play. And so I'll be curious to see right off the bat what it's like on Saturday.
Interesting.
Yeah, how do we we need to figure out a way to avoid that at all costs.
You get up in the game.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Take a quick lead.
let's talk Eagles. The bye is upon us, but we're 2-2 after a month of football. What's the mindset of this Eagles group?
Yeah, I think going into the bye, I mean, if you ask the players, I think the mindset is trying a way to find consistent football. I think the thing I've heard the most, you know, over the month covering the team after wins, after losses, during the week, is just needing to clean up some of the little mistakes they think are holding them back. The issue with that is I've been hearing them say that for over a calendar year now, going back to last year. It feels like after every game, it's other things we did to ourselves. This isn't who we are. Well, sooner or later, it does kind of become who you are. And, you know, for the past 11, 12, 13 games, it's who they've been. So coming out of the bye, I think it's going to be all about that game against the Browns and coming out and playing clean football. If you look at their upcoming schedule, the next four teams they play, I think all only have one win or less. Like, this is their opportunity to go out and go on a run. And if they don't do it now, then I think we just have to accept we're truly staring at, like, a 9-8, 7-9 type of team.
I agree with you, Elliot. Like these, the next month, just like that first month was, that's a challenging schedule. This next month, we can be off our game and still win three of four, win four of
four. That is possible. Yeah, that is true. And
let me push back on that quickly. You said the Eagles can be off their game and win four of four. That's what great teams do. The Eagles might not be a great team. Like, it might take the Eagles playing some of their best football to win these games, right? Like, going into last season, at the end of the year, we thought, okay, they have the Giants twice, the Cardinals, the Seahawks. That'll be the safe proof. They won't actually lose those games. They went out and they lost almost all those games. So while we can look at the schedule and go, look, you have to be great against these teams. You have to go out and win them. The Browns are probably looking at this and going, okay, nice, we have the Eagles. The Bengals are looking at this and going, oh, nice, the Eagles are coming to Cincinnati.
Of course.
There is a perception with this team we might have to change.
Elliot, why does it feel like all of the changes for the positive that we saw early in the season, offensively speaking, you know, Jalen was going to be under center more, we were told. We saw in week one he was under center more. We were told there would be more motion. You know, these things were there. And then over the last month, they've been slowly dialed back. Is the reason for that the quarterback? Is the reason for that the coaching staff? Is the reason for that it just didn't work against what they were seeing?
Is it backup wide receivers, Elliot, that had to play because the starters got hurt? Like, what changed? Why did that change?
So, there's a lot of different aspects in there, and I don't think it's one overarching answer for all of them. The motion thing, so if you look at the motion numbers, last year with the Chargers, now he was missing Herbert a good portion of the year, but if you look at last year, Kellen Moore ran motion, and I believe it right around 25-27% of the snaps. If you look at this year, they're at 22% through four games. So obviously it's not that huge of a difference. But if you look at week one, they ran it over 60% of the time. I think part of the reason you haven't seen as much motion is because of the receivers and, you know, obviously AJ being out, Devontae being out. But I don't think that's an excuse. I mean, Jahan Dotson is not a rookie. Like, you know, you have Kellen Moore, who has been a coach in this league for, you know, many years. Like, you can't just lose one receiver and all of a sudden have the motion completely plummet for the next three games. So I think part of it is the injury at receiver, but I'm not sure that's a good excuse.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Elliot, stay well, man. Enjoy the baseball playoffs and I guess a weekend where you don't have to cover the Eagles, but we'll talk to you next week quite a bit. Say it again?
No, I was saying.
By the way, Elliot, the Hammer going for victory 17 in a row. I mean,
yeah, it's incredibly impressive. You know, each week you ask me, I'm almost at a loss for words at this point. What do you say?
Listen to what you're saying.
All right, Elliot, you're a good man. You really are. Let me remind everyone right now the contest line, because we'll take caller number three in honor of Bryce Harper getting ready for his third postseason with the Phillies. The Phillies' main man, number three, Bryce Harper, going for his third crack at ring number one. Contest line, 215-988-1258. Third caller, contest line, coming up in about 3 minutes. You will compete and beat the Hammer. Again, the phone number, contest line, 215-988-1258.
How are you feeling today?
I feel pretty good. I haven't eaten yet, so I don't like that.
Because the eating is normally on your list of excuses if you're feeling off.
Yeah, I feel like every week you're like, I haven't eaten yet. I feel like that's just
why don't you
weekly?
Eat? There's food. Like, we've had food sitting here for quite some time.
I'm well aware of that.
So that's your fault.
A couple things happen. Sometimes in commercial breaks, I have to organize notes and audio to get ready for the show. I'm a put the show first kind of guy. I also occasionally have to, you know, step away.
What about
to go to the
multitasking?
Bathroom.
Just like,
can I eat while I go to the bathroom? Am I supposed to stand at a urinal and eat a breakfast platter at a urinal?
I probably would not do that.
If that's what it takes, though.
Sure. It could come down
Devin,
to that.
Did I ask you to comment with that? Devin, why don't you root for me? Why don't you root for me?
Nice job.
Because it's fun to see you fail, and it hasn't happened in a way too long
that's
a time.
True.
All right, let's go to the phones. Beat the Hammer shortly. Let's talk to John in Marlton right now. John, good morning.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Good, buddy. Excited, John. We got baseball playoffs tomorrow.
Okay. I'm excited, but I am definitely concerned. This team couldn't manufacture a run if their life depended on it, and that concerns me.
I don't think it's as bad as you think.
Yeah, I don't.
Look, they're not
bad.
They're not the 85 Cardinals, but yeah. I don't think they're nearly as deficient in that regard as the perception is. Kind of like Trey Turner has helped that. Bryson Stott will grab you some bags as a stolen base. JT can steal some bases. Are they the great?
Everyone steals. They don't. Castellanos steals. Schwarber steals. Yeah. They can steal, you know, in specific situations. They're going to get this thing done.
Look, I don't think
small
they're great.
Ball
yeah.
or hitting
they're not
big.
Great at hitting the ball the other way. Bohm's one of the better ones. They don't do much hit and run. That doesn't happen much in baseball anymore. But I don't think they're as deficient as you make it sound.
I'm just concerned that a good pitching coach is going to say, look, guys, if we keep them in the yard, we can beat them. And the Diamondbacks.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. It's a lot easier said than done.
Look, if the Brewers had kept the Mets in the yard last night, the Brewers would have won. I mean, home runs are part of baseball. There's a reason teams swing for home runs, because if you get more than the other team, you normally win.
The team that hits the most home runs usually wins the World Series.
I wanted to share a quick story because years ago, I used to work in the hotel industry, and Jimmy Williams, who was the bench coach for Charlie, lived at our hotel. And him and I used to talk baseball every day before he went down to the ballpark. And he hated Jose Reyes, hated him. Every day used to talk about him and how he'd hit a home run and celebrate like it was the World Series. And Jimmy told me I would bean that SOB every time he stepped into the box.
But that's great.
Unfortunately, this is Charlie's team, not my team. He goes, so it's really not my call. But I just thought it was funny that he told me that.
Diamond out Jimmy Williams, private comments from 16 years ago. All right.
Yeah, and I still remember. It was classic.
All right, John, that's a good story. John, give me an answer, and then I just realized I actually got a problem. We got a beat-the-hammer problem. But, John, give me an answer for a New York athlete you couldn't stand.
Wally Backman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good
answer. That's a good pull, man.
Wally Backman. Now, before we actually get to beat-the-hammer, I just realized I have a problem, which means we have a problem.
Great. Right.
So for everyone listening, we are in a new location about 3 weeks ago, and the soundproof booth that is the best option we have is inside. There's actually other people in the area, but I can't hear the show. But I need a key card to get into that area. Usually I use it with my phone, but last night when I checked in, I didn't do the phone check-in. I actually got a key card, and I threw the key card out this morning.
Great move. Terrific job.
So I can't get in that room. Fran, can you get me in that room?
Just walk farther down that way. You could just go around the corner.
Yeah, like you can go around the corner where those shops are, I guess.
Go around the corner.
All right, Fran, you got to turn the audio down then to make sure I can't hear it. I'll go far enough, and I will tell you when I can no longer hear anything. Is that fair?
This should go smooth.
Fair. Okay. All right. Let's play. This will work. It'll be okay, but Fran.
Wait. Can you hear anything in the bathroom? Why don't you just go to the bathroom?
Wait. I can see. You guys can wave to me, and I'll see you from down there. That way it'll hasten me getting back and having my victory, which I'm looking forward to. All right. Let's play a little game with, I see a little man named Mike and Ben Salem, some chump challenging me. Let's play a little game we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
So, straight out the gates, I think you're calling Mike a little man.
He is a little man.
How do you know?
Yeah, what if he's like 6'5"?
Because he's an idiot for trying to challenge me.
Whoa.
Only an idiot would challenge the hammer, all right? Which means you're a little man. Maybe not physically, but what's the word I'm looking for? Figuratively. He's a figurative little man, and he actually might be a physically little man as well. I know he's a loser because he's challenging me. Beat the Hammer is brought to his
mind. Gone for it now.
What is wrong with you in your brain?
Dude, I got a 16-game.
That are wrong.
I got a 16-game hammer streak.
Okay, great.
No, I know it's great. You don't have
Mike,
to tell me.
Please.
Don't tell me it's great.
Please.
I'm aware
it's
great.
We're behind you, man.
All right, Pizza Hammer is brought to us by First Trust Bank, the largest family-owned commercial bank in our region. Found it in South Philadelphia in 1934, the official bank of the Philadelphia Eagles, with a record of 262-41 with a 16-game hammer streak. We play Pizza Hammer. And we've got this guy, Mike, on the line ready to challenge me. Reminder to everyone, Dick Vermeil in about 12 minutes joins the show. Mike, good morning, sir.
Morning.
Mike, give me your height and weight. Let's find out if it's literal or only figurative.
Mike, please don't feel
height
like
height and weight, Mike.
Yeah, I'm interested.
And don't lie.
I'm about 6'4", 225.
Yes, he is!
Wow!
Yes, there you go.
I love this.
Mike, how many inches you got?
Oh, Joe, could you do my... Come on, man.
I mean, I need something to my advantage. I'm not 6'4". All right. Mike, I noticed you didn't answer that question.
Yeah, it's because Mike was smart. All right.
Mike, good luck to you, pal. I mean it. Good luck. You're going to need it. I'm going to step not in the soundproof booth, but way the hell far away that I won't be able to hear. Good luck to you, Mike.
Well, thank you.
Get out of here.
Well,
scram.
Sounds like Mike is pretty reserved.
I like this. Mike not taking the confident bait, as they say. You know?
Absolutely.
I feel like that approach usually rattles Joe.
I agree.
I think Joe seems a bit rattled right now.
I do too.
Yeah.
He's walking. We can see him walking, and he's gesturing to us. We don't really know what the gestures mean.
Is he trying to say walking, can hear, not hear?
Now he's just walking with his hands in his pockets, sort of just head down. I don't know why he's... Wow. Okay.
I think
he believes
but see,
he's far
now
enough.
Now he's watching us.
Now he's standing far away.
What are we doing here? We need to move. We got
We're
Dick
good.
Vermeil coming up in 10
We're
minutes.
Good.
We're good to go.
He no all longer right. can hear
right,
us.
Just
Mike,
go. Yeah,
are you ready to play a little game we call Beat the Hammer?
I'm ready.
Good. All right. Let's roll, Mike. Our category for the week is the Phillies begin to embark on their postseason journey. We're going to wrap up the 2024 baseball season. Are you ready to roll, my friend? 2024 MLB season is our category. You ready to roll?
Yes.
All right, question number one. Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. 55 seconds. Here we go. Question number one. The Arizona Diamondbacks are one of five teams who had a record above 500 but didn't make the playoffs. Name one of the other four.
Mariners.
What player has won three straight batting titles for three different teams?
Luis Urias.
Who is the only team to win their division each of the last four seasons?
Astros.
Who won the American League Triple Crown of pitching this season?
Scooble.
What division had four teams finish with a winning record?
Can you say that again?
What division had four teams finish with a winning record?
National League East.
Ooh, so close. AL Central, but a really strong performance, Mike.
Lord.
4 out of 5. Rattled them off. It's the best performance we've had in a while. I feel pretty good about this, Mike.
That's with 10 seconds left. We're trying not to react in any way right now.
We're going to put this on.
Joe is jogging back. He's jogging back.
All right, Mike, we're going to put you on hold here.
Boy, that's an ugly jog.
Put him down as the hammer makes his way back in. Slowly.
He is back, and it is slowly. He did try to jog.
No, I did good. I'll tell you what I forgot to do, though. Say what this guy Mike is playing for. James, what was the prize today?
Hold on one sec.
Thank you, sir. Want to give this guy a chance to know the prize he's not going to get.
That is great. Oh, wow, look at that. All right, prize today is a Philadelphia Phillies navy blue cap with a red P.
Okay, there it is. Getting you ready for Red October.
All right.
All right, how did Mike and Ben Salem do?
You ready to roll here, buddy?
Ben.
Hell yeah? All right, good. Well, let's roll. Our category for the week, it is the 2024 MLB season. We're wrapping it up as the Phillies begin the postseason. The 2024.
There better be an Aaron Judge question in here somewhere.
2024 MLB season, you ready to roll?
Not really.
Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked.
You know I pay attention to the Phillies and not much else. You're a dirty dog yourself.
55 seconds. Here we go. Yeah. Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. Question number one.
Sure.
The Arizona Diamondbacks are one of five teams who had a record above 500 but didn't make the playoffs. Name one of the other four.
I'll come back to it.
What player has won three straight batting titles for three different teams?
Say it again.
What player has won three straight batting titles for three different teams?
Oh, boy, that guy used to play for the Marlins, maybe. I'll come back to that.
Who is the only team to win their division each of the last four seasons?
Whew. Only team to win the division each of the last four seasons. I will say, boy, I'll say Houston.
Who won the American League Triple Crown of pitching this season?
I don't know.
What division had four teams finish with a winning record?
Say it again.
What division had four teams finish with a winning record?
I'll say the AL East. All right, batting title. I forget that Marlins guy. Above 500, I will say that did not make the playoffs. I'll say Boston. AL
Time!
Wow.
Yes!
This guy.
Yeah, baby!
Finally!
Who are some of these losers? AL pitcher?
So
AL pitcher? I got to follow AL pitchers in my life.
Yes, you know who got it right? Your opponent, Mike, nailed it. Tariq Skubal won the AL Triple Crown of pitching.
What's his name?
Tariq Skubal. He also pitched game one for the Tigers. He'll be pitching in the ALDS.
Skubal.
Don't
ask me about a Tigers pitcher. What is this? Detroit Sports Radio or Philadelphia Sports Radio? I got a Tiger. I got a Tiger. I got to hang with Doyle Alexander. I got to answer a Tiger.
Is a boss.
Mike got four right, dude. You can't get it right.
He knew he was going to win.
Way to go, man.
But it wasn't even close, buddy.
No, obviously. All right, Mike, congratulations to you, man. That's very – if you got four right, that's very impressive.
Thank you, sir. Just like
Mike,
the Mets.
You're time to talk, man.
Mike is all business. I love it.
My God, you're a machine, man.
I think he might be.
You got four out of five. They were hard. I mean, for people that only follow the Phillies.
Should have got five out of five, but I'll take four.
Wow.
Strong.
He missed the last one.
Yeah. I think he should have.
So who's the batting title three teams in a row?
Luis Arraez is his name.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out his name.
He is the old Marlin. He went with the Twins, the Marlins, and the Padres. The Twins, the Mariners, the Cubs, and Cardinals all were above 500. Tariq Skubal in the AL Central, four teams above 500. Three of them in the AL, still alive in the AL playoffs.
Wow, Mike, I truly tip my cap to you. That's a very impressive job by you. That's really, really, really impressive, man. I mean, obviously if someone hardcore follows it all, you can get them. But if you're only more dialed into the Phillies, that's a really well job done by you.
Is that like an excuse wrapped in there?
I mean, it's facts are facts. By the way, Mike,
you've won
a prize. You've won, what is it, James, a Phillies hat?
Phillies hat, yes. We'll get it to you, Mike. Mike, we're going to put you on hold.
But
and
a lifetime of pride and joy.
Yes!
Mike, thank you so much.
Yes!
My soul goes with you. Thank you.
And you had to win.
Mike, the Phillies are going to follow your lead this weekend, baby.
Amen, brother.
We needed it. The guy who's scared of the Mets could not win today. Well done.
Exactly
well
right.
Done.
All right.
Way to go, Mike.
Mike, congratulations on putting you on hold. Congrats. And with that, let's shut it down. let's shut it down. I don't have the controls. I'm not flying the plane. And with that,
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Look, everyone eventually loses. All right,
finally.
James, that was incredible work with the music. Nicely done.
Yeah. Had to.
Nicely done.
Well, that guy was very impressive.
He was good. Honestly, he went 4 for 4 like that. I thought he was going to get
Might have been a cyborg.
Can I be honest? He was even like that on the phone with me. Like, when I answered, I'm like, he's like, Mike. I'm like, all right, Mike. He's like, maybe Beat the Hammer. He's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, dude, let's roll, man.
All business. I love it.
Well, congrats to that guy. That's really well done.
I hope he calls next week. Mike, please call him. Guy knows everything.
I like that.
I feel like he was like, I'm so sick of the Hammer winning. I'm just
he's
I'm
like, I'll
take
call.
Over the
I'll
team
just
and
deal
I'm
with
just
it.
Gonna do it. I'm gonna do it.
All right, we're gonna talk to Dick Vermeil coming up in a couple minutes. Right now I want to play some audio of John Middleton because, you know, this is obviously with this group in the postseason, the Phillies' third crack at it. John Ritchie asked John Middleton about that yesterday. Here's that exchange.
Why is it that the third time with this group, the third time is the charm?
Well, I think if you look at the 07 through 11 team and you look at the 80 team, I think each of those teams, and I would say the same thing about our team, I think we've gotten better every year. I think this is a more complete team. The roster from top to bottom is better. You know, we've kept the top. We've raised the bottom. The average is higher. I think there's experience matters, and Nick made a point about what we did in the offseason is we knew the players could do this, and the players now know each other better. They understand each other better. I think it's a more cohesive team today than it was in 22. So I think all of those ways. And look, this is a sport where the interaction between players is especially important because you're playing 6 out of 7 days with them. And so you're constantly with them. And I think that that chemistry is really, really important. And they believe in each other. They, you know, when somebody can't get the job done, the next man up says, okay, I'll do it. And you think back to some of those games at home, particularly the Mets series at home, you know, and we had AAA players making huge at bats, you know, critical walks, critical hits to win the, you know, the last two games. I mean, it's special. And the chemistry, you know, creates an atmosphere and a culture in the clubhouse and on the field and in the dugout. And all of that works in multiple ways to kind of just make the team better.
Look, I think it's well said by the Phil's owner, John Middleton, who was with us yesterday. I'll tell you the point amongst all of those many points that to me resonates the most. I just think the Phillies are better than they were the last 2 years. I mean, they were really good the last 2 years, but we saw right out of the gate this year, this is a different level club, and Christopher Sanchez is a big part of that. Now, we'll feel better about that if Ranger can hold up his end of the bargain in the postseason, which we're not sure he will, because obviously he did not finish the second half of the season in great shape. But the reality is, I mean, it is a better team than the last 2 years. It's a better record than the last 2 years. It's the first time in a long time they won the division. And, of course, the bye, you know, either helps or hurts. You like to think it helps. So there's a lot of good going for the Phillies. By the way, there's a lot of good going for the audience right now because, of course, I lost and beat the Hammer, all right? Let me own that. That guy was very impressive. And let me also tell you this. That guy challenged me, and I always tell you don't challenge me. He did. But let me remind you, not only did he win, but he proved you can challenge and be a winner, because that's with First Trust Bank, the goal with First Trust Bank, to get yourself there. I've told you before, and I'll say it again. With commercial banking, make sure if you are not with First Trust Bank, challenge your bank to do better for you. If they do not, okay, then get yourself to First Trust Bank, where your business will be in great shape. All right.